Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my radio program. Today is Thursday, August 4th, 2022. Today on The Cross in the Desert, I want to examine a very special yet incredible topic that has been happening in the Middle East now for several decades. It is the power of Christ. And the question is, through dreams and visions, is Jesus awakening the Muslim world? Thousands of Muslim, both men and women, are reporting dramatic supernatural encounters during their everyday life or during their prayer time where Jesus appears to them and tells them to follow me. And almost immediately afterwards, their lives are dramatically transformed and they leave Islam to follow Jesus. So the question is, are these really supernatural dreams and vision given by God that is changing the lives of Muslims? A lot of us struggle with this because many of us think that the time has passed, that God doesn't do things like that today, that that is something in the past. And since the last apostle died and we have the completed scripture or the canon, that's not necessary. But at the same time that we struggle with this, we have to recognize that whatever this is that Muslims are telling us, it is so dramatic that it causes them to leave Islam and come to Christianity. So how could it not be the Lord working mightily in the hearts of Muslim men and women? Look at the outcome. They are leaving the emptiness and the hopelessness of Islam to find their hope and freedom in Christ. It was a few years ago that I read a book authored by Tom Doyle entitled Dreams and Visions, asking the question, is Jesus awakening the Muslim world? And I want to delve into that this morning and talk to you about it, but I want to also, in conjunction with this topic, read to you an article put out by Open Doors, and it's the story of a Filipino Muslim who meets Christ in dreams, and he starts a house church. I want you to hear this. Think back to when you first came to Christ, whether it was in a church pew, listening to the radio, at an after-school club, or in a quiet time with the Lord. God can use whatever means necessary to get a hold of our hearts. I think we'd agree with that. Ali, a believer in the southern Philippines, has this remarkable story. And he says this, "I come from a Muslim background. Christianity was never on my radar. Then one night, God met me in a dream, showing me a bright light and telling me to go to an unfamiliar building to me, a church. I woke up and began searching for the building. When I found it, a youth leader greeted me, and he invited me in to talk. The youth leader was also from a Muslim background. He had no problem answering my questions about Christianity. Eventually, I began to get a clearer picture of Jesus, the church, and what Christianity is all about. God had led me to every answer that I needed. I couldn't ignore God's call any longer, and as a result, I accepted Christ. But like all of us, I faced unique challenges to my faith. To return to my Muslim community as a converted Christian was very difficult. People called me Christianized and were disappointed in me for converting. I faced significant pressure to return to Islam. Angry at the way I was treated, as a result, I left the church and I began to mock Christianity. But I soon faced another challenge. My mother was dying. As the wind blew, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against me, I rediscovered my firm foundation on Christ. When my mother was dying, I was shocked because I was calling on Isa al-Masih, Jesus. My mother had accepted Christ before her death. Her faith reminded me of God's call. Well, I returned to Christ, ready to serve him once again. Today, I serve God with more zeal and courage than ever before. My faith has been reignited, and I lead a house church with my family, building up the Christians around us and always looking to spread the gospel. Later this year, I will be leading a group of believers like me who left Islam, passing on the lessons of Christianity I have learned. What a courageous man Ali is. As a result of the mocking and the persecution, he stumbled for a while. He said, you know, I can't handle this pressure. I'll just go back to Islam. But God used the death of his mother and her conversion to wean him back to Christ. Once we come to Christ genuinely, we can never be severed or separated from his love. So please pray for Ali in the Philippines that God would continue to use him. But as a result of a dream and a vision, in that dream, Ali became a Christian. God led him uniquely to a former Muslim who answered all of his questions. What an incredible story. Well, what I want to do right now is I want to introduce you to a man that authored the book, Tom Doyle, Dreams and Visions, Is Jesus Awakening the Muslim World? Now, this is several years ago that he was on the John Ankerberg Show. And he talks about another example of how Jesus is indeed awakening the Muslim world through dreams and visions. Let's listen.
Give me an example of how these dreams play out in someone's life. Jesus shows up in a person who is a Muslim and into their life, into their dreams. And how does this work? How does God hook them up with somebody so they actually get to the gospel?
Well, you know, the dream is a small part of a much bigger plan.
Right.
And so this is just something, if we look at Muslims and maybe 86% of them worldwide don't even know one believer, but it's not God's will that any should perish, how is the message going to get there, like you were saying? Many of them start to have dreams and the old thoughts of Islam, like the Christians worship three gods, or the Bible is corrupted, or look at what happened during the Crusades, things like that that are barriers for Muslims, all of a sudden, Jesus just takes them around those barriers. There's really nothing you can say because you're taking on their religion, but all of a sudden they meet this Savior that they feel loves them. And I remember Joanne met a woman once that said, I never felt so safe with a man in my life as I did with Jesus when he would put his arm around me and tell me he loved me.
There was a woman by the name of Noor, and she was in Egypt. And the Lord appeared to her, surprised her, and then told her to go and meet a man in the marketplace. How did this work out?
Well, you know, it was an outdoor market, thousands of people there. It's on Friday, right before they go to mosque for prayers. They're getting groceries. They're getting whatever they need so they can spend the day with their family. And Kamal, who's a believer, woke up one day and felt like the Lord told him to go to the market. Well, he wasn't planning on going there. It was quite a ways for him. Even felt like the Lord was instructing him what clothes to put on, which he thought, this is strange. He goes to the market, and immediately, John, when he gets there, there's a woman covered completely, Muslim observant, and she sees him across the way and starts shouting, you're the one. Hey, you're the one. And he's looking around. That in the Middle East, that may not be a good thing. You know, someone
right.
running at you, and here she's covered and just sprints toward him. And he says, well, I'm the one. And she said, yes, you were in my dream last night, and you were with Jesus. And I've been having dreams about Jesus. And he said, you'll meet my friend tomorrow, and he'll explain why I'm coming to you in the dreams. And you were wearing those clothes, those jeans, that shirt, and you're a little bit overweight.
And he had glasses on, too, that she says, you had the glasses on.
And you had those same glasses on. And here is a married Muslim woman, a single Christian man. They sit down under a tree. He shares the gospel of Jesus with
her. Yeah, for a couple of hours.
Yes.
And it's interesting, she did not accept the Lord at that moment.
Yeah.
She started thinking about the consequences.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be fair. And so the questions are these. First of all, someone's ready to pray. And let's say that Noor was ready. He would say, are you willing to suffer for Jesus? Because it's probably going to happen. It could be your family that persecutes you. Are you ready? Yes. Second question, are you willing to die for Jesus? Because that's happening too. They call it honor killings in the Middle East. At that point, she pulled back. She had a large family, a lot of kids, and wasn't ready.
Yeah,
but we
children.
Know that Jesus is after her.
This is incredible. How do you explain this particular incident? Other than the fact that God directed this Muslim woman to know the right person to talk to in the dream, he shared with her exactly what he would be wearing. There is no other explanation but the sovereign purpose of God. It was the same situation with Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Jesus was directed to go to Samaria to sit and share the good news of his messiahship with this outcast Samaritan woman. God is not changed. He is doing it the same way. He is reaching into hostile countries, hostile to the gospel, and bringing hope and freedom to Muslims through dreams and visions. And sometimes we struggle with this because it's supernatural. We question it, and it's okay to question things. But in the end, I think God is shown to be sovereign, that he is doing something unique because he loves these Muslim people, both men and women, and he's reaching them in a situation where they can recognize. A lot of Middle Eastern people talk about dreams. They are fascinated by dreams, and so God is using that to reach them for the gospel. And right now I want to share with you about 6.5 minutes, an incredible story along the same lines of what I've been sharing with you this morning. This is Fatima's testimony of how God transformed her life through one particular dream and vision. Let's listen.
Of the 7 billion people living on our planet, 2 billion are Christian and 2.1 billion are Muslim. Two different religions with two very different points of view. Fatima Divanbegi learned the truth about each of these religions in her search for a genuine relationship with God.
On the inside, I felt like there was a huge rock hanging in my heart. I could feel it. I could even tell you what it looked like. I mean, what the size of it was, what it looked like. It was real, and it was painful. It was like something that would draw me down and wouldn't let me, you know, live. There was no hope in it. There was no hope for the future.
Fatima was raised in Iran as a Muslim.
Being a Muslim is not by choice, it's by heredity. So if your parents were Muslims and you're born in that family, you're automatically a Muslim.
But Fatima resisted her parents' Muslim faith.
At a very young age, I started questioning existence, questioning whether there was a God or not. I would be like spending hours and hours and hours thinking about what would God look like? What would he, you know, where would he be? But traditionally in Islamic culture, you don't ask these questions. They're tabooed. You don't, if you start asking questions like these, they will call you faithless.
Growing up, the God of the Quran was the only God that Fatima ever knew.
He's not a personal God. He's distant and he's a creator. Nobody knows who he is. Nobody knows his nature. Nobody knows his plans. You just know that he cares about morality. And, you know, in order to go to heaven, you must do good works. So it's through your good works.
As a teenager, Fatima looked for answers in fortune telling and by reading coffee grounds.
I did that for a few years. Like I said, I was still searching for God. That practice did not lead me to know God. But still I searched. I had no choice. Something in me would not rest. And finally I came to a conclusion. I said, God, you're either so complicated that I could never know you, or you're just right in front of my eyes and I can't see you. And so I remember like every day I would cry and cry and ask God to show me himself. I'd look at the sun. Are you the sun? Is that, you know, is that how you reveal yourself? You know, where am I supposed to look?
Her cry was answered when Fatima says that Jesus appeared to her in a dream.
I dreamt that Jesus and I were walking in a rose garden. It's gonna make me cry. And we were walking, and in the dream I'm thinking he's a prophet. He's walking and I'm just following, and he said, do you want to come with me? And I said, yes. And I said, and he said, then follow me. And I said, my mind thinking, how would you follow a person who's not even, I mean, he was a prophet a long time ago. How would you follow a person and not his instructions? You know, would you follow? So that was kind of puzzling. Why would he ask me that?
Night after night, Fatima had dreams about Jesus, God, and churches.
Old churches, new churches, modern churches, you know. And I dreamt that, you know, my mom and my all our family are, you know, holding hands and going to the church.
Fatima moved to the United States when she was 20. She met a friend from work who told her about Jesus.
It was after he accepted the Lord Jesus that he found joy and peace. And those words just popped. And I said, wow, this is good. And he said every time he receives it, every time they pray for him, he is filled with joy and peace. And I said, oh, I want that. I want the joy and peace, you know.
So Fatima went to a Christian church, and a woman there asked her,
do you believe Jesus Christ is God? And I said, did he say that? Did he say that, that he was God? And she said, yes, he says that. I said, sure, I believe he's good. Trust me, I'll find out if he's not. I didn't think of, you know, I'll just find out, you know, things aren't true. But I'm willing to give Jesus a try, like, definitely. And she said, do you want to pray, salvation prayer? Absolutely. So it was very, because of my, I think God had softened me up to the point that, you know, I was soft toward God, and I wasn't, you know, resistant.
That night, after years of searching, Fatima prayed to become a Christian.
Things just started changing. That heavy, heavy heart, that stone that I could, you know, it was sharp even. I could feel how sharp and painful it was. That was gone. It was completely gone. That night, the Lord he took his hand in my heart and took that rock out permanently. The one significant thing that God did for me, that Christ did, was that he put hope in my heart, a permanent hope. And as I got to know the Lord more, you know, of course the Lord gave me many more dreams just to show that the scriptures were true, that everything I was reading, God was backing them up.
Today, Fatima's mother, brother, and two sisters are all Christians. Fatima's a real estate broker and studying to be a psychologist. She's also married and has two sons. Fatima understands Muslims who are curious about Jesus and those who really don't understand who Jesus is.
I would say don't say no just because your parents were Muslims, parents before, you know, your great-grandparents were Muslims, and this is what you're always taught. You need to find God for yourself. He's available. You know, if Jesus says he's God, then he will prove it. All you have to have is an open heart to allow Jesus to come in, and then you will know for yourself if he's God or he's not God.
Well, what a beautiful testimony. And she describes, that is Fatima, that heaviness, that stone that was weighing down on her heart and suffocating her was completely removed when she found Christ. God worked in a powerful way in Fatima's heart through dreams and visions to answer her questions, to point her to Scripture, which is, of course, our final authority on everything. And so I just want you to understand this morning that if you yourself are searching and you're struggling, if you're a Muslim, God loves you and has a plan and purpose for your life. And I would say, read the Bible, come to know Christ, come to understand who he is, that he's much more than a prophet, that he is God Almighty manifested in human flesh. And he alone can give you salvation, and he alone can give you hope, and he alone can give you forgiveness. And that's why I want to play a song for us right now that summarizes everything that Muslims have found when they met Jesus, that he is the way maker. Here is Sanak.
Worship you. Hey, we make
By Sinach, Wake Maker. It's a song that encapsulates everything that Jesus means to Muslims. And I think that we have answered the question this morning. The question was, is Jesus awakening the Muslim world? Is Jesus awakening the Muslim world? And I can say an affirmative, yes, he is. In a supernatural, powerful way, he is drawing Muslims out of the darkness of empty religion into a vibrant, life-transforming encounter with Christ, because Christianity in the end is not just another religion. It is the truth. It is a love relationship with God through Christ. And so this morning, if you are in this situation like Fatima and many other Muslims, know that God loves you and he's reaching out to you with the good news of Christ. He wants to transform and change your heart and give you hope and give you forgiveness and give you the gift of everlasting life. Just one request from your host today. Join me in praying for Muslims to have life-changing encounters with Jesus all across the world and to come to faith in Christ. And God bless you. I will see you again on Monday on the Cross in the Desert. Have a great weekend.